recording. All right. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mrs. Hagenbusch, can you call the roll, please?
Mr. Ings?
Present.
Mrs. Stats?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Mrs. Bennett, Mr. Yule, unable to be here this evening. Mr. Yule will be back for the regular meeting, though. That's the plan. So, thank you. Item two, public participation. Anybody?
Any takers? I think Denny's going to talk now.
I want to make sure no one's walking in the door that wanted to participate. So, no? Okay.
I'm sorry.
So we have Mr. Oswald.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I'm gonna talk a little bit about IDEA-B funding, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Act. It's special funding that we can use.
Oh, you're fine. I'm good. Thank you, Doug.
As you guys well know, like, we get funding from all kinds of different sources. Special education is one area where funding is where we spend a lot of money to make sure that we're providing the appropriate services for students who need those services in order to close their gap in their education so that they can keep, you know, current with their peers. So the purpose of this presentation is really just to go through a special funding that we get that we need to hold a public meeting on, just so that you're aware of what we're spending the money on. And then we also have an opportunity this year through the American Relief Funds to acquire some additional funds, which I'm going to talk about, you know, where we're going to be spending that, or what we plan to spend that, provided it makes sense with you guys. Just real quick background, IDEA-B funding is essentially funding that is provided by the federal government's federal funding that helps subsidize or supplement the special education and related services. And just to kind of educate you a little bit, the related services would be like your speech therapy, your occupational therapy, physical therapy, that kind of stuff that we provide for our students. So these funds are combined together with the state mobile funds that we receive to help, again, just provide extra funding in that area. This money can be used to pay for staffing, educational materials, equipment, any other related services costs that benefit students with disabilities. And these funds have been allocated to states equally, and then states kind of divvy up how we receive those funds once they're at the state level. So in North City Schools, we receive actually two sections of this budget. One is the special education, which would be basically our kindergarten through 12th grade, and then we also have the early childhood, which would be our preschool. So as you can see in the chart up here, we spend the bulk of this money in instruction and support services, which really all go towards the salaries and benefits of employees, whether that's through indirect instruction or through our aid services. So same thing with our early childhood, we spend it in the support services, which again would be our educational aids that assist our students. So with those two combined, we pay for 20 of our educational assistants. We have approximately, Stephanie, help me, is it around 60, I believe. So we have about 60 educational assistants that work in the district at all grade levels. The IDEA-B funds help us pay for 20 of those individuals and their benefits, or at least supplement that money so that we are not pulling it all out of our general fund when it comes to, you know, providing those services for our students. So catching us up to speed with current, the American Rescue Plan, also known as ARP, in, you know, because we love acronyms, especially in the special education world. We were receiving those additional funds this year to help, again, support our early intervention and special education service programming. What we're planning to do with this, and this is just, I'll summarize this. We have several students that are utilizing a special program over, it's housed in Barberton at Johnson Elementary School. It's called Chance Light. It is not part of Barberton City Schools, but the Chance Light program essentially leases space from Barberton City Schools, and they kind of oversee the maintenance of that building. So we have students that are over there that need some intensive interventions when it comes to behavioral and academic needs. And that program is costly, but is a great benefit to those students. So our plan with the ARP IDEAB funds for special ed is to help pay for some of that. So we are going to be using that additional funding of approximately $110,000 to help cut down on the cost from the district level for the instruction of those students. So you'll see that chart that's, we call it purchase service because we are obviously buying the service from Chance Light to help educate those students. Yeah.
How many students are in Chance Light, did you say?
We currently have six that are there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Chance Light, just kind of give you an idea, it's very similar to other programs. We do have students that also attend special programming at schools such as LEAP or Educational Alternatives. We also have some students at Total Education Solutions, which is in Fairlawn. And those are basically when we get to a situation where we are unable to provide certain services or the services that a student needs is outside of our scope within our buildings is when these students end up in these programs so that they can get what it is that they need in order to advance their education. So that is what we're planning to use the ARP IDEAB special education funding for. And then for our early childhood special education fund, so again, we have the two entities. This one's more geared towards preschool-aged students in Eric's building. We're planning to utilize this with our related services, which again would be our speech and language, occupational therapy, physical therapy that we offer to the students in the building down at the primary school. And that comes out to a total of $15,000. So that'll be helping, again, contribute towards the salaries that we spend on the related services personnel that work out of Eric's building. That is it. I just needed to present that at a public meeting. So are there any questions as it relates to that funding? This is funding that we've been receiving for years. We just yearly should be going through a public meeting just so that the community is aware of where our funding is going.
You just answered my question. So.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Mr. Oswald. We're going to move on to item three, the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? No? Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0. Thank you. On to item four, board business. Under committee reports, technology and instruction.
Well, that would be me. Well, I'll let you go first. You have anything you want to talk
about? Well, nothing major. I just wanted to let you know that our tech advisory committee is meeting on the 17th to work on our strategic plan. So after that, I'll be able to report out some information from that to you. And then also, I hope to have some additional information on where we are with the devices and additional information related to the one-to-one rollout. So just working on it, but nothing to share with you at this moment.
Great.
Do you want to talk about the policies, the first readings, for your acceptable use?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we did decide.
First
it's
reading.
It's going to be a first reading.
Oh, it
yes.
is going to be a first reading.
Today. Yeah.
Okay, so with the technology acceptable use policies that are on for tonight, and I know I emailed you this, but just a refresher, we're just removing the similar lines from the staff and student policy. It was something that we didn't catch that we should have removed. It was saying that teachers needed to inform parents of using specific websites that kids would be creating accounts. But now we've changed our process to where when parents agree and sign off on the AUP, they are signing off on the approved sites for that school year. So that's why there isn't this teacher need to contact parents for permission. So we have those on here for approval for first reading tonight. So.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I will try to be concise as well. I didn't go through and do a pretty slideshow, so you just get, here it is, a little bit of color there. Basically, to do a review, the same type of thing, we are always, required to give a report out on the report card to the board. And last year, we really didn't have a report card to report out about because they really didn't do anything. So this year, we do have a report card. But what they're telling us, coming from the state, is they did not issue letter grades as they have in the past. What they want us to look at are the report cards for the purposes of information only. Okay, they're sharing out, and some components they don't have listed, other components they do have listed. So on the first page, it just briefly explains what all of the categories are that are included in the state report card. Achievement, progress, gap closing, improving at-risk K-3 readers, graduation rate prepared for success. And there's a brief description of what all of those areas on the report card are for. And just keep in mind that the state did not issue letter grades or rankings this year. The data that they're providing us with is to be used for recovery and informational purposes only as we move ahead. Okay, so the first category on the report card is achievement. And the achievement category or component really represents the student performance on the state test, whether they met the established thresholds and how well the students performed on the test overall. The proficiency rate or the rate that they want, the score that they want is 80% passage through the state test. Well, we did not meet that 80% this year on several of our tests. Understandably so, with the differences in education, remote, in school, hybrid, back and forth, it was really difficult for our kids to meet those marks and to make that growth. So what you're looking at right there, that 71.1%, is the overall of just the tests. There is nothing outside of what our percentage points were, our score was for meeting the test. It's actually not rated, they didn't issue you a letter grade, but they did show you what your percentages were for those particular rates. So out of 120 possible points you could achieve, our students in the district, we received an 85.3, which averages out to that 71.1%. The passage rate for each test indicator is considered 80%, and then there is a separate indicator for the end of course retakes, which happen at the high school. That is 25%. There was nothing issued for the end of course indicator. No data was released for that. We did meet the passage indicator on our third grade math, our fourth grade math, our fifth grade English language arts, and our eighth grade math. Previously, we've done better than that. We've had sometimes seven, sometimes eight indicators that we've met. This year, we did not meet them, but those were the four areas or five areas in which we did. As I mentioned before, no data reported for the end of course indicator. The gifted indicator also includes three components. Not all three of those components were rated, so there was no issue and nothing other than information. The gifted value added score was not issued. Value added basically means, did your children grow an expected year's growth from point A in this year to point A in the following year? Okay, it just looks at those groups of kids. There was nothing to gauge that on. Our performance indicator was 107.2, and that looks at how our kids scored overall. How did our gifted kids score? Did they continue to score in that accelerated advanced ranges, or did they drop down? So we received a 107.2, and in order to meet that component or to get that check mark, they're wanting us to be at 117. We did, however, meet the gifted input points, which were 81, and anything over 80, you get to check the box. So the gifted input points are really looking at the amount of kids who are identified as gifted, how many of them are being served, how many of them are not being served. So we did meet that mark. And then this is an area which, we knew we probably would struggle with, chronic absenteeism, especially with kids being back and forth and in and out and remote and not logging in and not checking in and so on. So the district, we reported our chronic absenteeism as a 10.6, and the state's target this year for the 2021 was a 10.4. And this included any and all absences, excused, unexcused, it didn't matter. It's considered an absence. So we were that close. Okay, on the next one, progress component is when you look, I referred briefly to value added. We don't have some scores this year in value added because there were not enough prior data points. But if you look at the chart, and if you look at our courses, so we had all grades in English, language, arts, science, and all tests, but then it's broken down fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and there is a color-coded chart off to the side. So if you look at our fourth grade English, language, arts, our students made more progress than expected. So there's significant evidence that they made more growth. In fifth grade, they made more progress than expected in language arts. Math, similar to the statewide expectation. In sixth grade, the red, we made less growth than what was expected of us in both categories, language arts and in mathematics. In seventh grade, students made less progress than expected in math, or excuse me, in language arts and math, they made more progress than expected. And in eighth grade, you have that bright green under language arts, which means they made more progress than expected moderately, and then the two lighter shades of green for math and science, students made more progress than expected. And when you look at the high school, there is no component for English language arts anymore. The state does no longer make us test students in that area. So the English language arts two is the bright green, so that's more progress than expected. Algebra, the lighter color green, significant evidence. And geometry has made more progress than what was expected. They did not issue a score in American history because for 1 year, the American history test was optional, although we gave it and our students took it. And the government test, there's no rating because there wasn't enough data points to gather the information for government. So it's, you know, it's hard, it's difficult to give you an accurate depiction when I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. If you go to the next section, it's called gap closing. So what it does is the state sets a goal for our subgroups of children. And in order to have a subgroup, you must have 15 students that falls in that range. And if you look at our subgroups, you know, we have all students as a whole, and then we have the multiracial students, our economically disadvantaged students, students with disabilities, Black non-Hispanic, white non-Hispanic, and English learners. So we have a population of larger than 15 students in each of those areas in order for them to create a subgroup. And if you look at what I have, to the left of the slash is what our students achieved. To the right of the slash is what the state says we should be achieving. That's their expected goal for us. And the reason I put certain groups into italics is because those were the groups that met what we call AMO, annual measurable objectives. So in language arts, if you look, you can see that our multiracial students, our economically disadvantaged, our Black non-Hispanics, and our English learners met and surpassed that expected goal. The next column is the mathematics. Again, all students. We had fewer groups this time meet that particular goal. So our multiracial students did, and our English learners did, but the rest of our students did not. And then the third column is the graduation performance goal by subgroups. And when they looked at this one, they looked at the white non-Hispanic, the economic disadvantaged, and the students with disabilities. In all of those categories, the students surpassed the expected AMO for graduation. Okay. Improving our at-risk K to three readers. This component looks at how successful our students are in kindergarten through third grade at closing that achievement gap in reading and in literacy. So when it takes a look at it, it uses our MAP diagnostic. So three times a year, we provide the students the opportunity to take that MAP test, and that is what is used to determine whether or not a student is on or off track for the third grade reading guarantee. In kindergarten, the beginning of the year, they use the KRA for that information. So what it does is it looks at the number of students at the beginning of the year who are considered off track. They did not meet the threshold for the third grade reading guarantee. And then it looks at them the following year. It follows that cohort of kids through. And the next year, if fewer students are on RIMS, then we've made some growth. So the goal is to reduce the number of students at the start of every year who are on a RIMP, which is a reading and improvement monitoring plan, which are sent home with all of our kids in K to three. So at the beginning of the prior year, we had 113 students beginning the year off track based on that math reading growth test. 75 of those students moved to considered on track at the start of the next year from one grade to the next based on that same diagnostic. So the students who maybe were off track in kindergarten, fewer of them were off track when they made it to first grade. So they're making their growth. However, we did have six what we call RIMP deductions for students who appeared to be on track at the beginning of the year based on the diagnostic, were not given a RIMP or put on a RIMP, and they did not score proficient on the state test. So we receive a deduction for that. And then when you looked at the end of it, 67.9% of our students scored proficient, 700 or higher, on our third grade English language arts test. And I can tell you that is down from a couple of years ago. I don't remember exactly what it was because that was in 2018 and 19 when we were issued those report cards, but it is down. And I can give you a little bit of information about that. If you go to the next page, graduation rate, we're staying right around where we typically do. So students graduating in 4 years that entered ninth grade in 2016 and graduated in 2020, over 95%. And the five-year plan, because they look at a four-year to five-year cohort of students, so those that graduated in 5 years that entered in 2015, graduated in 2020, were also 94.3%. So our graduation rate typically stays a little bit higher like that. And the last area, prepared for success, what they look at are points that students can earn on remediation free scores on the ACT or the SAT, honors diplomas, and those students who receive industry recognized credentials. So we actually had 156 points for our students who fell in those areas. And then they do give bonus points for certain things for if you have students who met the above criteria and also might have scored a 3 or higher on an AP exam and or earned at least 3 college credits from a CCP course that they would have taken. So we gained another 29.7 points, which ends up being 187.5. And then they divide that by the graduation cohort, which is 2 years worth of students, for a 44.7. So if we had a grade, I would be able to tell you what that was, but they didn't issue them. So that is more or less the report card. But what I really wanted to share also is, this isn't anything that you have, but the state of Ohio had put out what's called a data insight, just a little bit about what the pandemic looked like for kids across the state. And some of the things that I thought were very interesting, there was obviously a decrease in enrollment. They had a lot of students, almost 53,000 students, left the public schools for home instruction last year during the pandemic, during all of this. Half of that was pretty much in preschool and kindergarten. So almost 25,000 students in preschool and kindergarten did not attend public school last year. They were home. The homeschool enrollment increased by 55%. Student attendance, almost 380,000 of Ohio students were considered chronically absent last year. They didn't come to school, they did not check into their online learning, so on and so forth. Then they did a little bit of a dive into the spring assessments, looking at state test scores, because we know in 2020 we did not have the state assessments, but in 2021 we did. And what they're telling us is across the state, our English language arts proficiency rates decreased by about 8 percentage points across the board. And math went down by about 15 percentage points just from, you know, not having testing in 2020, mm-hmm. from 18-19, take that year out in the middle, and then go 2021. So language arts scores were dropping approximately 8%, and math rates were dropping by about 15 percentage points. And what they also were showing, just looking on that third grade achievement, that roughly 20% less learning happened for students between the fall and the spring than what has happened in prior years. So they're telling us, you know, there is basically a decline all the way across the board. So it's unfortunate. So, you know, what we've talked about, Mr. Addison and I have talked about, we've all talked about the fact that we're kind of wiping the slate clean and we can't focus on what happened last year because that was last year. So we're going to just continue to move forward, making sure that we're giving our students the opportunities that they need, making sure we're giving them the help and the assistance that they need, whatever we can do, you know, to help close those gaps. We hired additional personnel. We used ESSER funds for intervention specialists. We used ESSER funds for literacy tutor in the elementary building. I mean, we're doing what we know how to do. And so we'll, you know, push through it. We'll see what happens next year. I will tell you there will be changes to the report card. It will no longer have a letter grade rating with the one next year. Now we're going to have stars. Ooh. So we're going to go from letters to stars.
Eric's good at those.
Right? So when we know what's going to come out, you know, I will obviously share all of that with you, but they're making some changes and there will be indicators that will be, you know, things will be changed, things will be combined, so the report cards will look a little different come next school year.
Are they changing enough that we can even compare them to previous report cards?
You know, it's going to be hard because, like, for instance, certain areas are going to not be included anymore.
Right.
Because they're going to start looking now at, with that Prepared for Success indicator, they're going to also start looking at military. And they're going to start including other areas in there that haven't been there in the past. So they're telling us the Prepared for Success indicator, all that will be there, we're not going to count it. We're not going to use it for a couple years yet. So it's hard. It's hard to explain.
They're always changing
yes.
the goalpost.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And they you can't compare.
Yep. Yes. And they're giving deductions on certain areas. If you don't have certain things in place, you'll get a deduction. So if all of our students don't test, and for various reasons, last year we had students who did not test. Parents declined testing. Parents didn't bring them in. They didn't want to come in, the risk of you know, contacting or getting the virus. We had parents who didn't come in. Because of that, we didn't test 100% of our students, and we would have received a deduction for that on the report card, which would have automatically reduced you by 10 points. They're penalizing you for things that are outside of our control.
Yes.
I cannot go to a home and make a parent send their child to school if they're not comfortable sending them to school with what is happening. You know, we encourage them, bring them in. We've made all sorts of arrangements to test them individually, to do what we needed to do, and we still had people that chose to decline testing, so.
And even every year, you still have people that choose to decline the test.
They do, and we strongly advise them, this is why we're doing it. You know, you need to see how your child is progressing. We need to have that information. We need to have that data, because how can we help your child if we don't have a baseline to go on? If we don't have an item analysis, it tells us where your child needs assistance. Yeah. So it's an uphill battle all the time. And as Mrs. Webble said, it's constantly changing. Mm-hmm. They're constantly moving things on us. So it's a moving target.
But catch it.
Right.
Yeah.
But any other questions about the report card?
The new report card really was, there are changes that superintendents like for where we are heading. And the report card committee was actually led by three superintendents. So the organization itself is thrilled. They see it as a better tool years down the road. Maybe not necessarily next year.
It's just hard to gauge.
Yeah.
Until you actually see it and have it in front of you.
Well, you have to have a couple years in a row to be able to see.
How, so no more A's, B's, and C's, now it's stars.
But the PI score went down by about 10 points on average in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Which is about where ours was.
Yeah.
And it's really not a comparison tool, but you know, we weren't too far off from the average drop.
Right, but the areas that weren't included in the PI, they didn't include the absenteeism, they didn't include the end of course indicator, and they didn't include the gifted indicator. And they simply looked at those achievement scores from the state test. They don't have a component grade. So that's where that 71% came from. Anything else?
No. We're as confused as you are, so yes.
No, we're more confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have it to read at your leisure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy.
All right. Item 5, executive session. Can I get a motion to move into executive session to discuss the employment of personnel, the sale and purchase of property, and pending legal action?
So moved. Second.
Is there any discussion? No? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes. Motion passes 3-0. We are now in executive session.
Somebody
put this up.
Thank you very much. We are now out of executive session. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mr. Inks?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Motion passes 3-0. We are now adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
All good.